So excited for our brand new series that starts today. And really, our prayer and our hope for this series is very simple. Here it is. Whether you're single, you're dating, you're married or divorced, that each and every single one of us would, as we look to God's word, that we would all grow in our relationships, that they'd be more meaningful, that they would be better because of what God teaches us together, because every single one of us, we all have relationships that are not perfect, relationships that are struggling, relationships that bring a lot of baggage. And so that's our hope, that's our prayer, that every single one of us, no matter the context, that we would all grow and that we would all experience deeper, more meaningful relationships. And as you've been able to tell already from week one, and it'll be 4 weeks, taking us all the way through the month of February, that there's going to be a lot of humor involved with this series. There's going to be a lot of tear-jerking moments, like that amazing testimony video that we heard at the very beginning of the service. So we hope that you'll stick and stay for the entirety. And plus, like Dante said a moment ago, every single week you got a chance to put your name in for that Taste of Texas date night. And I cannot win, if you're wondering. So it is not rigged. You know, I've been a pastor for close to a decade now, and honestly, most of my counseling sessions, most of the times that I pray with people with something that they're struggling with, most of them, you can all whittle down to this idea, this topic of relationships. Really, it's the root cause of most of the problems in our lives. And honestly, it makes sense if you think about it just a little bit. Because odds are you spent more time and you got more training getting ready to drive than you did on having healthy relationships. Just the truth. You spent more time trying to figure out, hey, this is when I can turn here, this is when I can switch lanes, all of that. We went to more schooling for that when it comes to this idea, this topic of relationships. In fact, I've seen so many issues throughout my pastoral career that I won't even officiate someone's wedding unless they promise that they will do premarital counseling. Why? Because we need training on this major topic. And the truth is that most of us did have some training, but our training was this. We saw how not to do relationships. We witnessed with our mom and dad because they're imperfect people just like us. And so we witnessed them get it wrong. We witnessed them do things the incorrect way. And so really that's all the training that we had. And it's dangerous. In fact, I equate it to us handing the keys to a monster truck to a 16-year-old teenager and saying, hey, figure it out. God bless. It's not going to end good for them, and it's not going to end good for anyone else in their path. And so it makes sense to me if we really look at this topic and the lack of training that we've gotten. And so in this series, again, our goal, our mission is not to hear from some pastor or some people that maybe you know, maybe you don't know, but to look to God's word and find out how to do relationships the right way. We're going to choose the hard right over the easy wrong. And just thinking about this idea of restart, I just thought we could use our creativity, our imaginations for just a moment. I know we're adults or teenagers in the room, and we do not like using our imaginations. That's a little kid thing reserved for toddlers. But today, let's try our best, because I want to imagine together for just a moment that if God gave us this amazing gift of a restart button in our life. I just want us to picture a world that we live in where we can use a restart button. So let me give you a couple examples of how this would play out when it comes to relationships. Guys, let's say that your wife, she buys a brand new dress, or guys, let's say the girl you're dating, she buys a brand new dress and she tries it on and she asks the age-old question, honey, how do I look? And you hesitate. Not on purpose necessarily, but you hesitated, and we all know, guys, where that story goes next. And how amazing would it be if God gifted us a restart button to be able to hit in that moment? Let me give you another scenario. Let's say, for example, that Guys, you've been, pick on you for another one. Guys, you've been getting up the courage to and ask a girl out. Like you've been nervous about it. I don't know if she's going to say yes. And you've been a little bit timid, but you just finally say, you know what? Today's the day. She's going to be mine. This is going to be amazing. I'm going to ask her out. And she's just going to, angels are going to sing. And she's going to say, why'd you wait so long? And so you're excited about this moment, guys. And you go up to her and you finally get the words out and you're stuttering a little bit, but you ask her, hey, would you please go out with me this Friday? And she says, no. Restart button. It'd be amazing, right? To be able to restart it. One more scenario. Ladies, let's say that your man finally gets with it and he's like, I'm going to take you out this Friday night. It's just going to be, in fact, I'm just going to prophesy over some married couples today. It's going to happen this Friday. Ladies, that's the perfect moment. You should have elbowed your husband. But he's like, I'm taking you out. It's going to be amazing. And so you get your hair did. I mean, you're ready to go and you get your nails done. I mean, it's going to be amazing. And you've been looking forward to this all week long and Friday rolls around and he picks you up and you go out and you don't even want to ask where you're going because you just know that he's thought through this so well. And it's just going to be the most amazing thing. I mean, maybe helicopter ride over downtown Houston you're looking forward to it. And then all of a sudden, you reach your final destination, and it's WrestleMania. Restart button. Wouldn't it be amazing, right, to have that in our lives? In fact, we're selling them for $5 in the back. That's a joke. But it'd be amazing if we could have something like that. Why? Because all of us, we face situations where they do not live up to the hype. Right? You've been working your whole life for this amazing career and you find out that your boss is horrible and the things that he or she does should be in a movie one day. And it's just like, oh my goodness, this is not what I thought it would be. And the truth is, God has not given us that amazing gift of a restart button, so to speak. But really, to get serious for a moment, we believe this around here at this church that no matter the messiness of your relationships, no matter the darkness of that divorce that you may have went through or maybe you're going through, God can redeem. We believe that. So even though he hasn't given us a literal restart button, we believe that there's no relationship too far gone that God can't do an amazing work. Amen? And we believe that, and we believe that for you today. If you've got your Bibles with you, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 22. If you don't have your Bibles with you, that's okay. We'll have it on the screen behind me. But it's Matthew chapter 22. It's kind of easy to find if you're new to church because it's the first book in the New Testament, which is kind of like the second half of the Bible. But Matthew chapter 22, we're going to read verses 36 through 40, and this will be our main text today as really we set the foundation for what we're doing. In fact, if you're taking notes, and that's a good idea in church, here's the title of my message this morning, Love on the Line. You could jot that down, Love on the Line. Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40. Here's what God's word says. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? That's a good question. Verse 37, Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 40. All the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments. I want to give you a little context here before we move forward today because context is king and you need to know what's happening in this situation. Jesus is in the third round of almost what felt like, I'm sure to some, an interrogation. There were different religious leaders, and I use those air quotes on purpose. There were different religious leaders that they were sending in almost like a proxy or like a representation, a person for their group that would go in and ask Jesus these weighty, difficult questions to answer. And this is round three that we pick up on. And in this round, they send out someone to ask a weighty theological question to Jesus. And essentially what we just read, and this is modern day it here this morning, this is kind of what happened. They go out in front of Jesus, there's a crowd watching, and they ask him essentially, they say, Jesus, these commandments, they're long. These commandments are hard to follow. I mean, we got a long checklist when it comes to living for God. So many things we can do and so many things we can't do. And it's hard. It's difficult. So Jesus, can you break it down? Can you give us the one thing that we need to focus on? Can you kind of narrow it all down, 30,000 foot view, and tell us what does it look like to really follow God? It was a good question, but it was really a question that they were trying to trip him up with. And Jesus, and it's the genius of Jesus. I love his response. He doesn't just give them one commandment. He goes the extra mile and gives them two. Love that about him. And not just that, but this is our first thing that I want you to take note of today. Jesus points out something so important for all of us, that relationship is greater than religion. In fact, you should jot that down if you're taking notes in church. Relationship is greater than religion. They ask him this question. They try to stump him and make him look foolish. They try to trip him up with his answer, because how in the world could he pick one when there's like a million commandments that they have to follow? But Jesus, when they're looking for religion, I love how he goes for relationship. It's an amazing thing about Jesus, and it's an amazing thing about living for God. He takes it a whole different direction. You see, Jesus could have said, you know what? A good commandment is to not murder. Could have said that. That's one of them. He should have said, you know, oh, thou shalt not murder. That's not a good thing. If y'all take care of that, that's going to be good. He could have said that. He could have said, you know, hey, thou shalt not steal. That would have been a good choice from the list. He could have went any of those directions, but I love that on purpose, Jesus goes relationship. Relationship. That's where you've got to start. And really, I can't think of a better way to start this series on relationships than to let everyone know, whether it's your first time or your first time in a long time, Christianity is not about a religious institution, but instead a personal, meaningful relationship with Jesus. That's it. In fact, I'm going to say that again because somebody's got to hear that. Christianity is not about a religious institution, but a personal, meaningful relationship between you and Jesus. And that's why, hear it from the senior pastor's lips to your ears, that is why we don't sell religion around here. We only offer a free relationship with Jesus. That's it. It's what we're about. It's what we're always going to be about. If you want religion and all love, let me tell you, you came to the wrong church. Because that's not what we're about. We're about a relationship that changes us as we do the greatest commandment and love God with our heart, all our soul, all our mind. And getting back to the biblical text, what Jesus says in verse 37, it's a direct reference to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, which is in the Old Testament of the Bible. He's quoting the Old Testament here, and everybody around, they would have known that he was quoting the Old Testament, because this Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, this was actually repeated twice daily by devout Jews. It's the beginning of the Shema. And so twice every day, the devout Jewish people, they would repeat Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 at the very beginning of the Shema. And so when Jesus answered this, again, the genius of Jesus, when he answered their tough, difficult question, not only did he make sure it was all about relationship, but he used something that they all would have agreed with. It's genius. It's amazing. The layers here of his simple response. And so when Jesus says, love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, they would have understood it and they wouldn't have pushed that topic, that idea away. In fact, they would have understood it on a deeper level than all of us. And so I want to break it down just for a second and then we'll keep going. But Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, It's amazing all the different things it talks about, right? With all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And really, people have missed it when they've interpreted this because they've taken all those little things and, oh, well, this is what it means to love God with your heart. And this is what it means. That's not the original context here. It's not what the Bible's talking about. Here's simply what it means, that every part of you, you love God. It's the whole. It's not you compartmentalizing your faith, because we do that, don't we? Our faith looks one way on Sunday mornings. We even dress differently sometimes. And not just that, but our Sunday morning versus our Friday night, oftentimes it's like two different people. And we compartmentalize Sunday mornings when I'm a Christian, and Sunday afternoon if my team is losing, I'm not a Christian for sure. And then Monday, I don't know, depends on how bad traffic is. And it's just like we have these different segments of our lives that we compartmentalize our relationship with Jesus. Going through a struggle, Jesus, where are you? Things are good. I forget even who Jesus is. And that's what we do. And the reason why I feel like we do that oftentimes is because we're all about religion and not relationship. Think about my relationship with my wife. I don't pick that up on Sunday mornings and then drop it to the side the rest of the week. If I did that, I wouldn't be married very long. It would not be good. It would not be meaningful. I'm always married to my wife, even when it's hard, even when it's difficult, even when there's moments where she points out the flaws that are so obvious, but I've been pushing them to the side, you know, just kind of sweeping them. Like, even in those moments, I'm married 24/7, 365, and that's the type of relationship that God wants with us, that every part of us, we are in love with God. But so often we get this backwards. We're about religion that leads to relationship, but that's not how it works. Let me give you one more example. My wife and I, several years back, we, of course, did what anybody who's married or has been married in this room, what you did. We stood before a pastor and, you know, we said our vows, and some of us, we write our own vows. Others, we just repeat them, and we did that in front of friends and family, and not just that, but we signed the marriage certificate, and so it's the real deal, baby. We are married. There's stuff to prove that, but here's how I don't do marriage with my wife. I don't go to her, and you know what? You said something that bothered me the other day, and so I'm going to go to our contract. And I'm just gonna look and see at the fine print here. And you know what? You're sick today, and I think I remember back that I'm supposed to love you the same way in sickness and health. So let me go check my vows, you know. And I pull up like a crinkled piece of paper. I don't do that with my wife, right? Like I don't love her that way. That would be weird, and that would be awkward, and that would be religious. This to-do list that I have to check off. No, that's not what I do. The way I love my wife is this. In sickness and health, I love her. Good times and bad times, I love her. Right? Whenever I make mistakes or she makes mistakes, I love her. I choose to love her. And then because of that, I fulfill my vows. There's a difference there. I'm not carrying around my vows like a crazy person. Yeah, we got married years ago and the page is faded, but I got to make sure that I check this one off. And I've been messing up on that. That's not how it works. But some of us, our relationship with Jesus is like that. Oh, I didn't pray today, so maybe next time. And you feel guilty. Or, oh, I didn't. They're going to know. It's been a while since I've been to church. They can just tell. Everybody's looking at me and, oh, man, it's this religious duty. And that's not what God wants for us. It's not the type of life he's called us to live. This leads me to my next observation from our passage of scripture. Here it is. Keep first things first. You should jot that down. Keep first things first. As you may have noticed when we read that passage of scripture from the top of the message, the order is important. Jesus could have said, love your neighbor and then love me. He could have said that. He could have put something else before the relationship deal, but he didn't. The order is important. The order is vital. And when it comes to relationships in general, we love Jesus first and then we can truly love our spouse. We love Jesus first, and then we can truly love our family member, our friend, our kids, like all of that, Jesus must come first. In fact, I'll say it to you this way. It's my sermon in a sentence. Your relationships with others will only be as good as your relationship with Jesus. This is the truth. Relationship with others will only be as good as your relationship with Jesus. We've got to get the foundation right. And so if you're not happy with your relationship with your spouse, if you're not happy with your relationship with your parents, your kids, your boss, instead of looking at them as the problem, look at your relationship with Jesus as the solution. I didn't get amen on that one. I wonder why. What do? We point fingers. The problem's with my boss. Does he know what a breath mint is? Because he doesn't understand how close he gets to me when he yells at me. The problem's with my kids. I taught them better. I told them, do as I say, not as I do, but they're still doing as I do. Right? We do all these things. We say all these things. Everybody else is the problem. Why not look at yourself in your relationship with Jesus as the solution? We're going to the root cause of so many of our problems is we don't keep first things first. I want to make it practical for a moment. Get practical from God's word every day. Because if the Sunday doesn't change the Monday, then Sunday doesn't count. So I want to get practical. What does it look like in our lives, keeping first things first? Of course, Jesus should be number one in your life. Above your hobby, guys. Above your spouse. Jesus should be first, above the job and the paycheck and all that kind of stuff. He should be first in our lives. And some of us have gotten that right, but some of us have not got that right. But here's the second one. We mess up on this one too. Jesus is number one. The second one, if you're married, is your spouse. That's how it works. Notice I didn't say church there, okay? One is Jesus. Two is your spouse if you're married. If you're not married, that's your parents. That's how it works. One, Jesus, second spouse, or your parents if you're not married. What's three? What's next? It's your kids. How many people do we know, and don't point fingers, okay? But how many people do we know that kids are number one? That the world revolves around the kids and soccer practice and band practice and ballet and, I mean, just everything. And then whenever the kid goes off and is grown up, the marriage crumbles. Why? Because the marriage was built around the kid. I'm preaching to somebody today and not around Jesus. So number one, Jesus. Number two, spouse if you're married, parents if you're not married. And number three is your kids. If you've got kids, if you don't have kids, then it's your siblings. That's how it works. Pastor Ryan, what's number four? Everything else. It's how it works. You've got to keep first things first. It's all about your priorities. And I guarantee there are people underneath the sound of my voice in this room and that will listen later on our website that we've got priorities out of whack. We've got kids in the wrong place. We've got Jesus in the wrong place. Or on Sunday, Jesus is number one, but Monday through Saturday, Jesus is number 2.5. And we do this all the time. And Jesus is telling you, don't be mad at me, be mad at the Bible, because I'm just preaching the Bible, okay? Jesus is all about the priorities that we make. Jesus has to be first. You've got to keep first things first. It's so important. You know, in English, we have one word for love. It's love. It's our word. But in the Greek, which is the original language of the New Testament, so where we're reading out of Matthew, in the Greek language, I love it, there's many words for love to describe the different types of love. We've got one. There's many in the Greek language. And so, for example, in English, we can love our spouse, but we also love our dog. We can love our pizza that we had last night and also love our kids. We can love that post that someone posted on Facebook when they met that celebrity at the airport. And we can love that person that, you know, our best friend. Like, same word, different kinds of love. I don't love my kids the same way that I love my spouse. I don't love my pizza. And nothing wrong with, like, please don't feel guilty about loving your pizza. Somebody just got to tell you. But I don't love my pizza the same way that I love my wife. There's a difference there. But in English, we just got one word. Well, in the Greek, there's several. And I want to give you just a couple. And then I want to give you the one that's used in this context. Here's one, maybe you heard of. It's philia. Philia in the Greek means brotherly love. That's where you get the name Philadelphia for the Eagles fans out there. Or should I say the fans rooting against the Patriots? That's where you get that word, Philadelphia, philia. It means brotherly love. That's one of the Greek words. Another one that we've got here in the Greek is eros, E-R-O-S. And this is a sexual love. And that's a fun one for us married folk in the room. Y'all can laugh at that. It's going to be okay. Then you have the one used here in this context. It's agape. And it means unconditional love. And so you can see very clearly, just leave those three up for a second, guys. You can see very clearly that there's a different love in the way you love your brother, different love in the way that you would love someone sexually, and then, of course, a different love for unconditional love. And that's the context here in this passage. I've heard it said this way about agape love. It's a love by choice and by an act of the will. It denotes unconquerable benevolence and undefeatable goodwill. It will never seek anything but the highest good for another person. Does not need a chemistry, an affinity, or a feeling. It's a love that endures through any circumstance or difficulty. Agape is a love that exclusively belongs to God and God's people. I don't know about you, but I want that type of love. And that's the type of love that God has for us. And it's the type of love that God's called us for others. You see, emotions change, but agape love, it's consistent through the highs and the lows. Here's the last observation for the day, if you're taking notes, and just to give you a little bit of advance notice, it's definitely the most controversial of the three that we're talking about from God's word. Here it is. Love is all about giving. I didn't think I'd get an amen there. Love is all about giving. And getting back to the text, what Jesus says in verse 39 is another reference to an Old Testament passage. It's Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, and here's what that says. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And so your neighbor, when you look at the original language, is simply anyone other than you. So the person beside you, in front of you, behind you, the person in your neighborhood, the person in your apartment complex, the person at work that drives you nuts, them, they are your neighbor. And so Jesus says, love God first, but then that should spill over into you loving other people in that same way. And love, true love, is really all about giving. It's loving people with no strings attached. It's what God has called us to. But this is a hard pill to swallow. In fact, I can feel the pushback this morning from right where you're seated, because this is controversial. In fact, I would say it to you this way. It's countercultural. Every TV show that we watch, and I watch them too, every movie that we go see in the theater, we watch on Netflix, everything, relationships are not about giving, they're about getting. Relationships, we find from our culture, it's so widely accepted, Christian and non-Christian alike, that relationships are all about making me happy. So we hear, that's what's preached, not from a microphone in a church building, but from our movies, our TV shows. It's so widely accepted. Even when you get to the little kid TV shows that drive me crazy because I got two little kids. Even in those shows, the whole goal is to be happy. The whole goal is, oh, so I can smile and get something for me. And I got to tell you today, friend, that's fake love. Fake love is about getting. What can I get? Got to get mine. And if they're not making me happy anymore, then peace out. I'm going somewhere else. That's not real love. That's fake. Agape love, unconditional love, means there's no conditions. If I'm happy from this relationship one minute and I'm not the next, I'm still going to love you. It's a choice. It's past feelings, it's past emotions, it's real, and it's what God has for us. Real love is all about giving and not getting, but the cultural norm says the opposite. It's a powerful roadblock for us in many ways. Let's pretend for another moment here, and let's use our imaginations. Let's just say, give you an example. Let's just say that here today that I'm going to invite every single one of you over to my house for the Super Bowl tonight. Okay, my house could not fit you all, so I'm not doing that, okay? Love you, but I can't fit you all at the house. But let's just say that I do that. Let's say I invite you over to our house for the Super Bowl, and hey, I'm going to take care of everything. It's going to be amazing. And she's like, all right, I'm going to check out this new pastor. I'm going to see what's going on. I'm going to see his house, what he's really like. And so you come over, you bring the family, and the second you walk through the door, just the smell is delicious. I mean, you just, almost like it lifts you up like in the old school cartoons and like floats you in. It just smells that good, you know? And you're like, man, I'm glad I came because I can just tell it's going to be good. Not just Super Bowl. I mean, it's going to be some good food. And so you put your coat up and you kind of get into the house and you sit down and you just keep smelling that. You're like, man, that smells amazing. Pastor Ryan, what is that? And so I say, you know what? I'm glad you asked because my wife, she's an amazing cook. And that's the only true part of this story because she is. But she's an amazing cook. And I'm so excited for you to try this. It's going to be amazing. And I don't really answer it. And so you think that's kind of weird. And so you just ask me, no, Pastor Ryan, it smells so good. What are we having for dinner? And I say, you know what? You're going to love it. We're having horse. You'd be thinking to yourself, I knew this was a cult. I just knew it. I knew this guy was weird. I knew it. You know, don't drink the punch, right? Just not going to be a good. And you'd be trying to think about everything else that you could, you're trying to make something up. You like quickly download a cold, whatever you got to do to get out of the house, right? Like it just be, you know, what disaster can happen in my family that he won't follow up on, but that would at least get me out of the house. Like, what do I do here? It would be weird to you, right? That's not culturally acceptable. What if I took it a step further and I say, no. I could see there's hesitation. I'm sure you've never tried horse, but what if I told you, and this part's true, what if I told you that actually in Italy and Sweden and China that horse is actually a delicacy? What if I told you that? It's actually a delicacy and people go crazy over it and I think you're really gonna love it. I can tell you're not convinced yet. Well, take a step further. What if I said, you know what? I was at a conference a month ago in Italy and they served it to me. Smelled great, just like it smells great here. And I was hesitant, but I ate it and it was amazing. Not convinced, but take a step further. I'm really trying to work you here on this horse, okay? What if I said, doctors, and this part's true too, doctors recommend that you eat horse. Not like some crazy cuckoo doctor that's like a pretend doctor, like real life doctors. They recommend that you should eat horse. It's healthy. So not only is it delicious and famous throughout the world, but it's healthy. You're gonna love it. Would you still eat horse? Probably not. Probably not. But in other parts of the world, it's completely acceptable. Maybe you see where I'm going here. In other parts of the world, it's normal for people to eat horse. But here, it's crazy. It's weird. We ride our horses. We pet our horses. We do not eat our horses here in America. But other places, it's normal. So I've got to ask you the question, who are the weird ones, us or them? Them, that's right. That was awesome. But like seriously, think about it. It's so normal for them, but not normal for us. Why? Because it breaks a cultural norm, something that is so widely accepted that no one ever questions it. And today, I'm here to break a culturally accepted norm when it comes to relationships. They are not supposed to always make you happy. It's the truth. And when you love someone unconditionally, it's so much better than happiness. Why? Because happiness comes and goes. It ebbs and flows. It brings you meaning instead. And meaning is so much more. It brings you fulfillment. And so you need to know today that your relationships that are struggling, maybe just maybe, you need to start loving them in such a way that gives and never expects to get. And when you do that, you'll find meaning, you'll find purpose, and really, honestly, a great byproduct is happiness. A lot of times, I want to read to you just one last scripture. It's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love. It's what God's called us to. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. I love this about God, that he doesn't just ask us to lay our love on the line for others. He first laid his love on the line for us. He's not asking us to do something that he didn't do. He's asking us to follow his lead with his strength to love others in that way. Could you bow your heads with me? Close your eyes all across this place. God, I pray for each and every single one of us. God, a foundational message when it comes to relationships and love. And I just pray, God, even now, Holy Spirit, that you would minister to us right where we're seated, because the truth is there's many here today and those that will listen later on that they've got relationships, they've got hurt, they've got things in their life that's it's crumbling, it's falling apart. Maybe it was a past marriage or current marriage. Maybe it's relationship between them and their parents or them and that wayward son, that wayward daughter that's so far gone, it seems. But God, we come in and we carry this baggage of relationships. We carry this baggage of hurt. And I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, that even now you would come in like a flood, that you pour out your love, your agape love for them. We can't return that love to anyone else unless we've first received it from you. It's a gift, no strings attached. I pray, God, you remind some people today that it's not about religion, it's about a relationship that you want with us. I pray you'd remind some people today that are broken, that there's nothing too dark, nothing too deep, that you can't come in and heal. Even when it's been years of hurt, years of pain, it doesn't scare you away. You're doing it right now, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you for the healing that's beginning in our hearts and lives. With every head bowed, every eye still closed, we're almost done, but we're on to the most important part of every service. No one's looking but me, honoring this holy moment before God, the one who loves us, the one who died for us. I need to tell some people today, the most amazing thing you'll ever hear. And it's this: God loves you so much. So much. And he came to this earth. He lived a sinless life. And he died on the cross for you. We made the mistakes, he didn't. But he loved you so much. And he came to this earth and he died on the cross. But not just that. He rose from the dead so that you could have victory. He loves you. It's the best news you'll ever hear. In fact, it's the gospel. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. No matter the past, no matter the mistakes, no matter if it's your 100th try at this thing, Jesus has fresh love and fresh grace and fresh mercy for you. So with no one looking, if that's you today, you're far from God. Maybe the decisions you've been making, thoughts that you've been thinking, the things you've been saying, No one's got to tell you you're far from God. You just know. If that's you today, I want to give you a chance to respond back to God's love for you. A chance to give your life to Him. A chance to tell Him, Lord, I believe you. I trust in you. Forgive me of my sins. And friend, He is faithful to do just that. He loves you so much. So if that's you, I'm not going to ask you to stand. Not going to ask you to come to the front, but right where you're seated, I want to know who I'm praying for today, if that's you. Can you just slip that hand up into the air? I want to lead you in a prayer. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? I see that hand. No one looking but me, please. You can put your hands down. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Each of those that raised their hand a moment ago and those that are already believers, Christ followers in the room, I'm going to ask you to repeat a prayer. And we do this every week when people respond, so don't you dare let it get to be a habit or something we just do because it's church. No, this is life change. Remember back to what God did in your life. But everybody that raised their hand a moment ago and the Christ followers in the room, you're going to repeat a prayer. It's a prayer of dedication to the Lord. And as you say it out loud, it's not about how the words are put in what order. It's about meaning them. If you mean them, God's word promises that you can know that you know that you know that you are saved. You're set free. You'll spend eternity with God in heaven, and it's what He wants for you. So everyone that raised their hand a moment ago and all Christ followers in support, repeat this after me. Say this, dear Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for what you did, dying on the cross, raising from the dead, so that I can be saved. I put my trust in you alone. Jesus, forgive me of every sin, of every mistake. I put my life in your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Can you clap your hands for those that just gave their life to the Lord? You can stand to your feet with me all across this place. Thank you so much for being here. We hope you enjoy the rest of your day, and we hope that you'll stick around for the series and maybe even bring someone with you. It's going to be an incredible time. If you gave your life to the Lord today, many hands raised a moment ago, please use that connection card. You can turn it in the back as you leave. You can put it in one of those buckets. And don't forget, if you want to win that date night giveaway, make sure you turn that in. You can do it face down if you're more comfortable with that, but we've got two baskets in the back. Besides that, you are dismissed. If you need prayer for anything, we've got some of us that will be here to pray with you. God bless you.